Thank you. Mother and daughter duo there. Yes, thank you, Judy and Carolyn. Yes, thank you. Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 25. The title of my message here this morning is Being a Christian of Self-Control. Being a Christian of Self-Control. Matthew chapter 25. And look at verse 28 here. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, no self-control, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, which is truth. And Lord, help us as we consider this topic of self-control. You would guide our thoughts here this morning. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors the living word of God. And Father, I pray you bring glory to yourself. And I pray that each heart that hears this message would be instructed in the ways of righteousness toward thee, Lord. And Father, you'd speak to each heart through your spirit that convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. So Lord, bless us and help us as we gather around this. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we may behold all that the Lord has for us here today. So bless us as your people, and may the saints of God be strengthened and encouraged in this world we live in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This article here is from the New York Times, and it deals with the airline industry and the problems they're having with unruly passengers on their airlines. The FAA has got, since February to date here, 1,300 complaints of unruly passengers. Since February to date here, about roughly 1,300 complaints of unruly passengers. Now, let's just put that in perspective here. In the past number of years, the average has been like 142, 156, 160 for a whole year. Since February, they've had over 1,300 complaints of unruly passengers. How bad has it been? Well, one stewardess had two teeth knocked out. Other ones have had bodily injuries, their arms twisted, punched, knocked down, bottles thrown at them. It's just been terrible. And the director of the FAA says that they have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to that. So within that complaint, they have looked at four people out of this 1,300. It says four people are facing nearly $70,000 in civil fines for clashing with airline crews in their flights. Would it be fair to say we've lost a little measure of self-control in our society? Would that be a fair statement to say we've lost a little self-control? Now, that's just in the airline. How about some of our cities in Portland and other cities? Has there been a lack of self-control in those cities? Now, when I talk about self-control, has somebody ever done something that makes you mad? Can I get a witness there? Okay? Yes. People do things that make you mad. But does that give you a right to burn down a man's business? To throw bricks and rocks through somebody's business window? If somebody cuts you off on the highway, does that give you a right to fire bullets into that car and kill some child? It has actually happened. It happened here in Lancaster. There was a guy who got mad at somebody and he shot through the car and killed a kid. You know, is self-control an issue that we should look at in our culture and society? I think so. What does Proverbs say here in verse 28? He that hath no rule. Now, what's another way to say that? No self-control, no restraint. Verse 28 of Proverbs 25, he that has no rule over his own spirit. Now, does God expect us to have some self-restraint within ourselves? Does he expect that? Okay. Does he demand that? There's a difference. God can expect, but does he demand that? He does. Thou shalt not steal. Is that a command or a suggestion? That's a command. That's self-restraint. Somebody has something that I want, and I'm not going to pay for it. I'm just going to take it.
God says, that's sin, that's wrong. We have self-restraint. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, now, control, that is important in our culture, in our society, for us as individuals, because once we get out of control, if we don't have self-control, what kicks in? Other control. Okay. If you don't have self-control with your gas pedal on your car, okay, if you don't have self-control on that, what is the other control that you might encounter? Those little lights in your rearview mirror, okay? That's the other control that kicks in. Now, which is better, to have self-control on your gas pedal or to have other control in your rearview mirror? Which is better? Self-control is much better. Much better. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, no rule, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, we as believers in Christ can be a wall builder every day in our life. What do I mean by a wall builder? A wall is made of bricks and stones, let's say. Let's say this, for illustration, a brick. This brick that you put into your wall of life is like a brick of self-control, all right? Your alarm clock goes off, and you get up and you get your day started. That is self-control. That's like putting a brick in your wall. If you sleep in late and you hit the snooze button, bonk, 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 you just keep hitting that snooze button, and all of a sudden you're late for work, and like I knew a man one time, he was running late for work. The company I work in had this policy. You could only be late 5 times in a year. If you were late 6 times, they were done with you. That was their policy. Well, this guy had 5 times in, he had no margin. And I remember the day it happened, the place I was working at down in Virginia had a 4-lane highway, and the company was there. You had to take the exit and get off, come back around, go through the security gate, park. What he did was, he stopped on the highway, pulled his car over, left it there, crossed 2 lanes, jumped the barrier, crossed the other 2 lanes, scaled the fence of the company, got on, ran in quick, and punched his time card just before 7 a.m., just so he wouldn't be late. The owner of the company heard about that. He got in trouble. He didn't lose his job. He had initiative that day, okay? But the self-control came in when? When that alarm clock went off, what do? You get out of bed. And, you know, problems happen when we don't exercise self-control. I knew another man. He stayed up late, was sleeping, very sleepy, driving the company truck in. He fell asleep driving, ran off the road, hit a rock, and took off the side of the company pickup truck. Took it right off. Had to come to work with it all bashed up. And I still remember looking at Jerry and saying, what happened? He goes, I fell asleep. And what woke him up was the bang of the truck hitting the rock. Now, self-control, is that important? If it don't, you can have what? Consequences. And this verse here says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit. Now, for the believer, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Okay? Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do we need help as believers to be self-controlled? What is God? Okay. With that in mind, turn to the book of Galatians here this morning. Book of Galatians. With that in mind. Book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say, walk in the what? Spirit. Why do we need to walk in the Spirit? Because in order to exercise self-control, we need to be spirit-controlled as believers. Because if we live a life that is not spirit-controlled, we might end up being out of control. And if we're out of control, we might hurt ourselves, we might hurt our testimony, and we might hurt the cause of Christ if we're not walking in the Spirit. Now, this I say, the Apostle Paul and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this I say, walk in the Spirit, that you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when we get saved, we have no issues with the old sin nature. Is that true or false? That is so false, okay? I've heard people say, and I don't understand why they say it, they get saved and they don't sin anymore. Because if you believe that if you're saved by your works, and then you sin, then you lose your salvation. And if you lose your salvation, you'll go to hell. It just gets all messed up. As true doctrine is that you get saved, you get God's Spirit, you have the old nature, and you put off the old man and put on the new man in Christ. That old man is still there. When do we get rid of the old man, the old nature? When do we get rid of that? When we die. That goes into the grave, that old man, and he stays there. Praise the Lord. When we get resurrected bodies, guess what? No more sin nature. Does that excite you? That blesses me, because I'm tired of this old sin nature. You know what I'm saying? The will that I will to do, I do not. What I don't want to do, that's what I find myself what? Doing. That's the sin nature. And that's why we need self-control. This I say, walk in the Spirit. Now, I've known people, they say they're a Christian. I ask them, you know, have you trusted Christ? I've trusted Christ. But this is their life. They live with one woman after another woman after another woman. They just never get married, just go from one broken relationship to another, just keep living with people. And you look at somebody's life, it's a mess. It's probably because they don't have what? The Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit, you're not His. You're none of Christ if you don't have the Spirit. And people can say, you can say anything you want to. Show me your life. If you really know God, it's going to affect how you live. You're going to have victory. Now, you may take baby steps. I get it. You may take baby steps, but you're heading in the right direction. And when you sin, that bothers you. And when you sin, your Heavenly Father is dealing with you as a son or a daughter. You feel the conviction and the guilt and the pain of your transgression, and you ask God to forgive you and help you. That's sanctification. But where there's no sanctification, there's probably no redemption either. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, just keep your finger there, but turn over here to Romans in chapter 14, just for one verse here, Romans chapter 14. Rather, Romans chapter 13, verse 14, rather. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm saved. I'm putting on Christ, I'm walking in the Spirit, and make not, what's that next word? Provision for what? The flesh. Okay, that is self-control. Self-control says, I'm not going to make provision for the flesh. In other words, okay, say you have gotten saved, and say you were a drinking man before you got saved, and after you get saved, you're trying to get victory over your drink. Okay, there was a story of this man in the West years ago, and he said, preacher, I'm having the terriblest time. I know I got saved, but every time I go to the town, I always end up in the saloon. And the preacher just asked him, said, young man, where are you tying your horse up at? He said, where I always do, in front of the saloon. He said, son, you need a new hitching post. Now, what's the wisdom there? Make no provision for what? The flesh. Don't tie your horse up in front of a saloon if you have a drinking problem. That's self-control. If you go into town, tie your horse up in front of the church then if you have to. Do you know what I'm saying? You don't make provision for the flesh. That's self-control. You, in other words, you're trying to live for God with your life, and you don't want to make provisions for the flesh because what does verse 14 say in chapter 13 of Romans? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We have a new nature. We have that old nature. Do they ever fight? Do they ever fight?
Yes.
They do. They do. If they don't fight in your heart, I wonder if you have the new nature. Because anybody that knows God knows that you have these pullings at you. Yeah, you don't want to make provision for the flesh. All right, turn back over to Galatians. Okay. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of flesh. Self-control. For the flesh lusteth, desires, craves against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. That's that conflict. The old nature and the new nature. These are contrary ones. They're totally opposites. So you got to do the things that you would. If you feel this battle in you, I'm glad to hear there's a battle in you, because that tells me there's God's Spirit working in you. The people that don't have a battle, that don't care about the things of God, do you have the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit? But if you be led of the Spirit, you know Christ, the Spirit's come into your life, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, manifest, which are these. Now, if you have no self-control, adultery. Now, God has made them male and what? Female. Did God make them for each other? Yes. Is that a natural desire for a man and a woman to form a family? Is that natural? It is. Okay. What makes adultery wrong is that is not yours to take. When you commit adultery, that's not your wife. That's not your husband. That is wrong. See, when you have no self-control, you just follow your lust of your evil heart and you move ahead without any thought of what God thinks about this or the damage that you do to others. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, impurity or uncleanliness, lasciviousness, selfish ambitions, contentions, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. You get the idea? Envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, which I've told you before, as I also told you in times past. Paul's just driving this home. They which do such things shall. What's that next word? It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say hope one day. Not. Inherit the kingdom of God. So how do you know a child of God? They have some self-control in these areas. Not perfect. Can a believer sin? Absolutely. But if you have an habitual pattern of sin without repentance, without remorse, you may not be God's child. Now, can we fail as God? Absolutely. But we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just what? Forgive us our sins. What's that next word? To what? Cleanse. See, that's the sanctifying part. So if you're living that life of out of total self-control, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verse 22. This is where I want to be. The fruit of the Spirit. Is fruit plural or singular? It's singular. Fruit is one thing. This is one thing here. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's not some people have love and some have joy and some have peace. No, the fruit of the Spirit, this is what is singular. This is what is the fruit that's in your life. The fruit of the Spirit, love, you have self-control. Joy, you have self-control. Peace, you have self-control. Patient, you have long-suffering, you have self-control. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. That word temperance, give me another word for temperance. What is that? Self-control. That's self-control. Now, as believers, now I'm speaking to believers here, you need to have self-control in your life. Do you have to teach children to be good or be bad? You have to teach them to be good. And in teaching them to be good, what are you teaching them? Self-control. Should children always get what they want when they want it? Should they be allowed that?
No.
They need self-control. They need restraint. If every man does right in his own eyes, what kind of nation will we have? Total chaos. If children in the home can do what's right in their own eyes, what kind of home are you going to have? Total chaos. You know, self-control is what we teach our children. Does our Heavenly Father, as a father, teach us, as his children, self-control? He does. He does. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. Look at verse 24. And they that are Christ, you're a believer, you've been saved from your sins, you've trusted Christ, you repented, you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they that are Christ, have, what's that next word?
Crucified.
What does that mean? It means you put it to death. Now, Martin Luther said it like this. I can't stop the birds from flying over my head, but I can keep them from making a nest in my beard. Now, what's he saying? Can you have a thought just come in your mind and it's not a godly thought? Because while we have a sinful nature, and sometimes we think, they're like, why did I even think that? But because we're filled with God's Spirit, that evil thought just goes right out the window, so to speak. We don't meditate on it. We don't think about it. We don't act on it because we know it's evil. It's not right. It's gone. It's gone. How many of y'all have microwave ovens? Okay. When you bought that thing, what were you hoping it would do for you? Cook your food very what? Quickly. You know, sometimes that mindset can carry over to all kinds of areas in life because we have no self-control. We want it when we want it, how we want it. Now, self-control is important. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, we're saved. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Now, what are some of the things that people have no self-control over? Desirous of vainglory. Pride, being conceited. Verse 26, provoking one another, envying one another. If people don't walk in the Spirit and they have no self-control, can that person cause a problem in a church, in a family, in a home, in a relationship? Can those people cause problems? Huge problems. Turn back over here to Proverbs. Proverbs 25. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, no self-control, is like a city that is broken down without walls. What does a wall do? It's a boundary. A boundary that separates right from wrong, good from bad, light from darkness, a boundary. If you want to walk in the Spirit and be a man and woman of self-control, it depends how high your wall is, okay? How much you see the danger. We live in a world that there is just sensuality everywhere. Now, I know a man, this is how he did his business. He loved his wife, he was a Christian, he loved the Lord. In his business, if one of the secretaries had to come in and meet with him, That door to his office would always be open. Anybody can come in, see anything that's happened. Is that wise or unwise? Very wise. What would happen if he closed the door with his secretaries in there and nobody could see what was on the other side of the door? That would be very foolish. Because you don't have to do anything wrong if suspicion is just there. Do you know what I'm saying? You can be innocent, but what you don't want to do is even raise the door of suspicion. Dr. Falwell had a policy like this. He would never travel with another woman in his vehicle that wasn't his wife. Is that wise or foolish? That's wise. See, if you want to have a wall to protect you, you build some boundaries into your life to protect your testimony, to protect your family, to protect your wife, to protect your children. He that had no rule over his own spirit. Now, is the heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Is that true or not true?
Yes.
That is true. Can you be a man after God's own heart and still sin against God? Yes, you can. Do you know your own spirit? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know your spirit? Because the minute you sit, the scripture says, take heed how you stand, lest you what? Fall. Is Satan looking for a way to bring Christians down? Day in and day out. Now, self-control will help you maneuver through life in such a way that Satan can't bring you down. Because what you don't want to be is a city that is broken down and without walls. That's a disaster. That is something that the enemy can come in and ravish and take away your resources and your honor and your testimony. What does Scripture encourage? He that has no rule, you have to rule over your own what? Spirit. Flip that around. Turn it the other direction. In other words, a true believer is going to rule. You may have a passion for this, but if it's not a rightful, legitimate thing you should have, you bring it, you stop it right dead in its tracks. Now, Randy Alcorn tells this story. A man came into counseling one day, very distressed man. Randy Alcorn, pastor, looked at him and said, "Young man, what's wrong?" He said, "I'm mad at God." Randy Alcorn said, "Well, that's different. I've known God mad at people, but I've never heard somebody mad at God. Why are you mad at God?" He said, "God didn't stop me." And he said, "What didn't God stop you with?" He said, "He didn't stop me committing adultery last night." Randy Alcorn said, "Well, tell me a little bit about this." He said, "Who is this person?" "It was somebody at work." He said, "How often do you see this person?" "We had lunch every day." And Randy Alcorn, while he was talking to him, he had a book on his desk and he just nudged it a little bit. And he said, "Okay." And every time the guy said how much he was with this person that wasn't his wife, he just pushed a little bit. And Randy Alcorn said, when he got that book to the edge of the desk, and he said, "This is what's happened to you, right?" And he gave that little nudge and it fell and hit the floor. Bam. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Self-control says, you know, I may like to have lunch with this person, but if it's not my wife, it's not happening. Boom, end of the story. I remember hearing a Christian counselor say to somebody that said, "I fell in love with this man, but he's married." And the Christian counselor looked at the person and says, "What part of unavailable do you not understand? What part of unavailable do you not understand?" And see, that's what self-control does. Self-control says when it's unavailable, it's just unavailable. I'm done with it. Because you're going to end up being a city that has no walls. And the sin nature is just going to ravish you and take away all your resources and all your honor. And everything good that you had in your life is gone. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. Well, let's look at verse 16 here in Proverbs 25. Okay? Self-control. "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Does it sound like you need a little self-control if you find some honey? Can appetite be something that does people in sometimes? It can be. Self-control is huge. See, what areas do we need self-control in? Food, that's what verse 16 is talking about. How about anger? Is that an area of self-control? Does people make you mad? It's like, one person said about somebody, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. Somebody said, well, don't give them too much. You won't have much left. You know, that's the way it works sometimes. And, you know, we need, you got food, you got anger, you got lust, you got pride, you got sleep, you got greed, you got power, you got drugs, you got alcohol, you got lying. You know, can lying be a problem for somebody? It can be. You need self-control to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because if you're a liar, you may fool everybody, but you're not going to fool God. God doesn't like people to bear a false witness. We need self-control. Now, where does the self-control kick in? I knew a man. And his wife came down the steps. I've told this story before. Down to the basement. He's on the computer. She's over his shoulders. And he was looking at things he shouldn't have been looking at. Poof. Bad time for him. And she asked him, have you been doing anything else? He said, no. This is it. This is all. Okay. Now, man, I'm going to tell you something about women. They don't need any evidence. They can pull something out of the air, and they can connect this dot with this dot and end up with a conclusion, and you'll say, how'd you figure that out? This wife, she's driving down the road. There was a Blockbuster video place, and she just drove by. She goes, I wonder if we got an account there. She'd never been there before. She walks in and gave her name and her husband's name. Said, do we have an account here? They said, yes, you do. She goes, can you tell me what video's been checked? All these X-rated videos and all this bad stuff been checked out. Now, why'd she stop there? That's a woman, okay? She goes back to her husband and says, I thought you said this was the only problem. Self-control will make you say the truth when you know it's going to hurt you. See, how do you know you're exercising self-control? When you do what you need to do, even though it's painful, but it's the right thing to do. And the minute you lie to cover up another lie, to cover up, you've dug a hole for yourself. What a disaster we weave when we start to deceive. And self-control, when you're exercising self-control, you're going to do what's right, even though it's not at that moment. At that moment, it's very painful. But you do what's right because it's the right thing to do, and you'll get the blessing after it. And he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is what? Broken down. Now, my question, do you have rule over your spirit? As a Christian, do you do what's right? Excuse me, right to do because it's right to do when no one else is looking. It's called character. You do what's right. See, your reputation is what people think of you. Your character is who you are on the inside, what you do. And God wants men and women of character, of self-control. Look at verse 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If your enemy be hungry, you give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Does that take self-control to be good to people that aren't good to you? Does that take self-control? It does. Life is full of these things. But don't be a person that has no rule over his own spirit. Because you're going to be a city, a person that is broken down and without walls. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we could have looked at so many other verses and said so much more about self-control. Father, help us as men and women of God that we would live our lives in such a way that we would walk in the Spirit, that we wouldn't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And Lord, we'd be men and women of self-control, that we would teach our children self-control. That denying ungodliness and worldly pleasures, Lord, we live righteously in this present life. And Father, where we failed and we've not walked in the Spirit, and Lord, we have given in to our passions and our lust, Lord, forgive us. And I thank you for cleansing us. But Lord, give us a victory. Lord, help us not to keep going down in defeat over and over again, God, in areas of life. Lord, may we have the victory in Christ. And Father, I pray that as temptation faces us, that we would be strong in Christ, and we would pray and use the word of God and the spiritual armor that you give to us, God. Because Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, he's devoured many of us. We've lost our self-control. We've said things that have been ugly and hurtful, and we have not honored you. Lord, forgive us for those times. We've hurt our spouse with words that pierced them, God, and broke their hearts. Lord, thank you for being faithful, even though we're not faithful to you. And Lord, give us hope and strength to carry on and to live for you, God. Don't let us be a city that's without walls, broken down. Lord, may we control our spirits, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.